Lake Effect continues now on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. 1970s, Boston, shoulder pads, big hat, and empty warehouses, and lots of guns. That may well summarize all you need to know before seeing Free Fire.
It's the latest film by Ben Wheatley, a shootout action comedy about an arms deal gone wrong. And really, it's essentially just a shootout.
While some may see an obvious nod to Quentin Tarantino's Reservoir Dogs, does it do as good a job in entertaining an audience during a 90-minute shootout? We'll let film contributor Dave Lurson offer his judgment on that as he chats with Audrey Nowakowski.
In Free Fire, criminals from several nations converge at an abandoned warehouse to do a deal, a sale of automatic rifles. But the dealers bring AR-70s instead of the agreed M-16s. And since no one trusts anyone else anyway, tempers quickly escalate and guns are drawn. The intrigue of who is doing what to whom, the 70s retro flair, and the tart and sometimes funny dialogue can't entirely ameliorate the monotony of the endless gunfight that follows, as wounded crooks duck, groan, lose blood, reload, and shoot again.
That was for Free Fire, the recent movie by director Ben Wheatley. So going into this and coming out, you know, I expected, okay, this is a movie about guns and gun violence, but you know, who knew a movie about arms deals and gun violence could be a lot of fun, as it was?
Could be. I mean, this is a difficult movie for me to write about as a film critic. I think that as a critic, if you really hate a movie, it's easy. The passionate anger just flows. And if you love a movie, you know, the high regard just, you know, articulates itself easily enough. Here's a movie where there are many things I like about it, but I don't really like the movie as a whole. I like the cast. I like the 70s retro thing is kind of fun. I like, you know, Chinese puzzle box, labyrinthine plots of, you know, again, who's doing what to whom. It gradually unfolds. The problem I have with this movie, and even though there is some virtuosic staging going on, I don't find an hour and a half of people shooting at each other within one room to be very interesting. I guess there may be a way to make it interesting, but I don't think that the director, Ben Wheatley, accomplished that.
Yeah, it is basically a 70-minute shootout, and there are no twists. Do you think that was just part of the point of the movie, that it was just an elaborately produced joke, kind of harkening back to 1970s B-movies and
Well, the 1970s B-movies, you know, moved along. I mean, there were gun battles. I mean, this movie was obviously a tribute in some ways to that. And I also think Quentin Tarantino's Reservoir Dogs, too. Mm-hmm. But Reservoir Dogs had a momentum, it moved along. I mean, this movie just gets stalled. And is that supposed to be funny or a parody? I mean, I think it's boring. I mean, so if that was the director's intention, I don't think he quite got there.
Well, and since it's stalled, and there's about 12 characters, if you count them all total, but the thing that mainly keeps you engaged besides, you know, keeping track of who is where is the dialogue and the exchange. Do you think that was done well, written?
Yes, I think that much of the dialogue was good. I wish these people would have maybe continued their gunfight elsewhere or something else had happened maybe. I guess it's posing a sort of challenge from a screenwriting standpoint. You know, what do you do with this kind of a situation? Is this even realistic? I mean, who knows? I mean, I don't know. I guess it could. Something of that could happen or could have happened. But just because something could have happened doesn't mean it's necessarily interesting material, compelling material for a film. I think the director and screenwriter needed to do a little more work on it to really bring the idea alive. If they were trying to do a comment maybe on gun violence or mindless violence in the media, maybe there's some of that there, but maybe their comment became mindless after a point.
And also, you mentioned you need the technique to support this kind of movie. The script was there in good points, but do you think the editing and the framing, and since it all does take place in one setting, ultimately, do you think it varied enough in that?
I don't think so. There was a review that I read, it might have been the New York Times review, where the critic was complaining about the difficulty at times of understanding who was shooting from where, what was going on with the particular characters. So I don't know. In that sense, maybe too, the director fell a little bit short. I don't know that I particularly noticed that problem while watching the movie, but I was just kind of, what can I say, lulled into a mild state of boredom. Here they go again, another round of gunfire. I like the ending. I don't want to give it away. I mean, the movie rises again when you get sort of the twist. But I think that there could have been a better version of this movie done by someone else.
Do you also think perhaps that it was an intentional antithesis of the typical Hollywood shootout movies where it's very clean shots? And, you know, in this movie, it's very much, you know, you get shot, they're groaning and moaning on the floor, that impacts their next move. And, you know, it's not clean at all.
Right. Well, maybe that could be an argument in favor of the realism of it, because I suppose if there really would be 12 people or whatever it was, you know, stuck in a big warehouse shooting at each other from the darkness, maybe there would be confusion. Maybe they wouldn't always know who they were shooting at. So I guess you could say that, but I don't know if it makes for interesting cinema, though.
Do you think it handled the violence well? I mean, Tarantino has his own genre of violence, I suppose we could say, but in this film, it, you know, it's grisly, but it doesn't make you squirm too much.
It doesn't go over the top. I mean, you don't see severed limbs flying around. I mean, there is blood, which again would be realistic. There's a sense of agony going on, which would be realistic if you're hit by a bullet. So I suppose I would say, too, in favor of this movie, for which I have mixed responses, that was handled well.
Do you also think that the acting ensemble, to me, it seemed like you could tell they had a good time with this movie. Do you think that adds some positive aspect to it, that you can see the actors are enjoying what they're doing, or that they're taking full advantage of just kind of the over-the-top sensibilities in there?
I think they enjoyed putting on polyester with really long collars and really wide lapelled suits and kind of indulging in a recreation of a certain era that has, you know, gained some nostalgic appeal. I mean, I guess, you know, going back in a time machine to the 70s, I would have been really appalled at the thought that anybody would want to relive this era again. I didn't enjoy being alive here at that point particularly. But even I have mellowed in my attitude toward it. I kind of enjoy looking back and seeing what these things looked like. What people, I mean, that was done very well and very realistically, I thought.
Do you think that it was a surprising next movie for Brie Larson to be in after her high of an Academy Award? And to me, it was surprising. And her character is integrated into it, but it's not, no one really has a leading actor or actress.
It's an ensemble cast,
yeah.
Definitely. And that too was handled well, I think. It was a good move for her. I mean, she won an Academy Award for a very serious movie playing a mother confined with her child by a sex predator in a shed in the predator's backyard for years. And this is a completely different kind of movie. It's lighter in tone, puts her into the thriller, you know, black comedy mode. I think that if I were her agent, I would say this is a good one for you to do because you don't want to get stuck doing very dramatic, very serious, very, you know, oh, how do you describe a role like the one she played in Room? I mean, it's a great performance, very claustrophobic and confined. I guess maybe that's the similarity. Again, there she was confined in a shed, here in a warehouse for the length of the movie. But anyway, in all other respects, it's very different for her. And whether or not Free Fire does particularly well at the box office, I think it was a good step for her to take to not get trapped.
Were you surprised to see Martin Scorsese's name as a producer?
Well, he, of course, with Mean Streets and some of the films he did back in those days, was could be thought of as the godfather of this kind of movie. So I suppose it appealed to him. You know, East Coast 70s setting with memorably quirky street-level gangsters and so on. I mean, yeah, in some ways he wrote the book for this kind of thing.
So, Free Fire, mixed bag, but ultimately, do you think it'd be a fun experience for most audience?
I don't know. I think if you go in realizing what it is and appreciating what it is for the good parts of it, yes. But I mean, that's not a wholehearted endorsement because I left the movie with very mixed thoughts.
Well, I suppose we'll let the viewers decide.
That's correct.
Thanks, Dave.
Thank you.
Dave Larson is arts and entertainment editor of the Shepherd Express newspaper. He's a regular contributor to Lake Effect. He talked with Audrey Nowakowski about the film Free Fire.
You fill up my senses. Come fill me again.